You need faith. And you can choose this morning to have that faith in God. How do we get God's approval? I want God's approval on my life. How do I get it? By being more good than bad? Doing more good things than bad things? The Bible says no. By keeping the Ten Commandments? The Bible says that doesn't work. Primarily because you cannot do it. It's not possible. The Bible says that there's only one way to get God's approval. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is difficult to please God. Amen? Follow along with me, guys. Without faith, it is what? Not just difficult, it's impossible. The only way you can get God's approval is faith in Jesus Christ, His Son. You may be a great person, but without faith it's impossible to please God. So is faith an important issue? Do you need more faith? Absolutely. It begins with the initial faith of trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That first step that you take. And this morning I encourage you to do that. Take that first step. Take that first step. After that, it is continual steps of building on that faith. Building on that faith. We have some things that are coming up that are going to stretch our faith, pushing us to acknowledge that only God can do this. This is God's church. This is His building. We are His people. It's His project. And we need to trust Him in it. I like a verse in Matthew 9, verse 29. Jesus is speaking and He says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Jesus is talking. He says, basically, you get to choose. According to your faith, it's going to be done. You get to choose how much God blesses your life. You get to choose how many answers that you're going to have to prayer. You're going to choose how much God gets to use you in His plan for the world, for this church, and in your life. According to your faith. If you have a lot of faith, there's going to be a lot done in your life. If you have a little bit of faith, God can only do a little bit in your life. Another popular verse that we know, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Another translation I read says, faith assures us of things that we expect. It assures us of things that we expect. It's not a hope like, I hope it doesn't rain today. That's a hope I have. But the truth is, it may or it may not. It's not, I don't know. But the faith that we have in God, the hope that we have in God, is assurance. And we're not just talking about optimism. I believe in Christ, listen to me, we can, what's the title of the sermon? Expect the best. I believe in Christ we can expect the best. I'm not talking just optimistic. I like optimistic people. Optimistic people is better than the alternative, which is what? Pessimistic people. I like to be around people who are optimistic about things, optimistic about life, about church, about God. I'd rather be around a lot of optimistic people than a lot of pessimistic people. But we're not talking just optimism. Optimism only goes so far. I could put you out in a snowstorm with nothing but shorts on, and no amount of optimism is going to keep you warm. You're going to freeze to death. I don't care if you're there saying, I am warm, this is okay, this is cool. I like snow. I like freezing weather. No amount of optimism is going to change that. It's not just being wishful. Being wishful is like saying, I hope I don't have any problems in life. That's wishful. Is it realistic? No. But can you expect the best, God's best in your life? Absolutely. We have God's promises. What am I talking about? Expecting the best is confident assurance that God is in control. God is in control of the future, and that He plans what is best in my life because He loves me. Confident assurance that God is in control of the future, and that He plans what's best in your life because He loves you so much. Maybe you're sitting here right now saying, why should I expect the best in life when so many things have gone wrong already? Why should I expect the best when so many heartaches have already happened in my life? We learned this answer from a very famous story in the Bible. The Philistines had a giant of a man on their side. His name was Goliath. He was a big guy. Very big guy. By some accounts, he's about 9 foot. Others up to 10 and a half feet tall. Either way, he's a big fella. If you were playing basketball, guys, you would want him on your team. We're talking at least 9 foot tall in height. Big guy. Everybody was intimidated by Goliath. His armor that he wore on him weighed 125 pounds. How much do you weigh? Oh, no. It's like me chucking Candace on my back and carrying her into battle with me on my back. I don't think so. His spearhead was like carrying a stick with a 15-pound bowling ball on the end. Try swinging that around on the end of a stick. He's a big guy. He's a strong guy. He was terrorizing the Israelites for how many days? 40 days. Taunting them. Calling them chickens. Calling them cowards. Challenging them to send a man out. Let's fight man on man. Pick your best. Send out Jack here. He's tall. Send him out. I'll have a go with him. Everybody else thinks that he's too big to fight except for one man. Who was that man? David. David has his little stones. And he says in his mind, you know what? That guy is so big, I can't miss him. You know what? Not only that, but God is on my side too. God's on my side. And God plus one person equals a majority, and I think we can take them on. What happens when you expect the best? What happens when you expect the best? When you have faith in God and you're expecting the best because you know God has the plans and God in His love wants the best. What happens when you have that kind of faith in life? When we approach our building project expecting the best? What happens? 3 things I want to share with you. First is, when you expect the best, it honors God. Listen to David's attitude. 1 Samuel 17, verse 46. This is after he's heard the challenge of the ugly Goliath, the beast. He says, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. And then at the end he says, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. He says, God's going to take care of you. And what is the result? God is going to be honored. It's His battle. It's His fight. He's going to be the one that provides the victory. Dads, you ever overhear your kids saying, my dad can do anything? Not if you have teenagers, but I'm talking about when they're little. My dad can do anything. My dad's strong. What does that do? That is their way of honoring dad. And that brings a smile to your face. Partly because you know it's not true, but partly Because it's honoring to you. Listen, we do have a God that can do anything. We do have an all-powerful God. William Carey. Anybody heard of William Carey, a missionary? Where was he a missionary to? Anybody? India. Very good. He made this statement. He said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Have that kind of faith of expectation. And then attempt great things for God. It honors God when we have this kind of faith. Number two, it increases my ability. Ask yourself the question, a simple question. Think about it in your mind. Who is going to be able to do great things for God? The person who constantly says, you know, I'm just really no good. You know, I'm not as talented as, you know, Pastor Ken. I'm not as good looking as him. You know, I can't sing as nice as Lolita. You know, I'm not really gifted. I can't do anything. Who's going to do more things for God? A person who says this, or a person who says, you know, I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength and has that confident assurance of expecting the best. Maybe I can't sing. Maybe I hate speaking in front of people. But I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And when the Goliaths come my way, I'm going to attack it head on. It increases my ability. It increases my strength, as it did with David. David had the strength to put a little stone in a sling and to go up against a giant. It hit the Philistine in the head. The stone sank in. Goliath tumbled and fell down face forward. God gave David that ability because he had the faith in God. He expected the best. He expected great things from God. We see in life many examples where attitude makes the biggest difference. Attitude. Olympic winners, gold medalists, they have the attitude that I'm here to win. I'm not here to come in second or third. I'm here to do my best. I'm here to win. I remember reading one time about Muhammad Ali. You know Muhammad Ali? Okay. He's a great boxer. Muhammad Ali. One time, what was his slogan? Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. He said one time, of the two fights that he lost in his career, he had a different attitude during those fights. He thought differently. He said his thinking was, if I lose. There was that if I lose aspect. The other fights, there was no doubt. He was going to win. But these times he thought, if I lose, and he lost. Faith has the power to change your attitude about life like nothing else. It gives ability in life. Remember in the story of David and Goliath, that shows you the kind of faith that he had. How many stones did he pick up as he approached the giant? He picked up 5 stones. Now, yes, some people will say, you know, there's controversy. Why did he pick up 5 stones? Some say we didn't have enough faith in God that one stone was good enough. Let me tell you, if I was going up against a 9-foot Goliath and I took 5 stones, that's still a lot of faith. Okay? So let's not be too judging of David. He took 5 stones. Hey, he went. Everybody else stayed behind with their swords and spears and arrows. He went. But I believe in my heart personally that David knew something that we also know from like 2 Samuel 21, and that is that there were 4 other brothers of Goliath. The Bible doesn't say they were in the camp at the time, but there were 4 big guys. So maybe he thought, I'm going to be ready in case they come after me after I take care of their big brother. And I got 4 stones, 1 for each of them. And God can help me with each of those as well if they come my way. You want to talk about increasing your ability through faith? David had faith. And third, when you have faith, it encourages others. It encourages others. Look what happens after the giant fell. 1 Samuel 17, 52. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. They were energized. They were charged up. They were running after them. All of a sudden, there was victory surging through their blood. And they had great faith. Why? Because of one person. Because his faith and what they saw in him energized them and charged them and encouraged them. That's the power faith has. Everyone gets excited. And I want to tell you something, that optimism is contagious. Faith has the incredible power that makes us optimistic because we have a great God. We have a great God. And I'm not here telling you that everything in life goes your way. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you just trust God and you won't have any problems. That is wishful thinking. But expecting the best knows that God has a purpose and a plan for your life and you can trust Him in it. Hey, this Goliath came before David. Did he say, "Oh God, I trusted you. How could you let Goliath come in front of me like this?" No. But he had the courage to take it on. Faith brings optimism. Instead of being like the others in camp, I encourage you to be a David. Be an encourager. Be an encourager through your faith, through your optimism in God. When you come to church, come in faith, expecting God to do great things. You're coming saying, "God, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what you're going to say to me today, but I'm coming expecting something great because you're going to be there. You're going to be there." When you come, come early because you just can't wait any longer to see what God is going to do. You're excited about what God is doing. Come early. Be ready. When you sing, give God your best. Give God your best. Don't be afraid and hold it back because you don't want people to think you're too fanatical around you. You don't want people to think that you're overly Christian. Give God your very best. I remember visiting a church at one time. And in this church, they brought in hundreds of guys from a local military base. They brought them in because they were in training. And, you know, the guys were happy to get out of boot camp and to go, get out. They fed them. And then they had a service. And there's this room full of hundreds of military guys. And when the singing starts, do you know what these guys sound like? Boom! It lifts the roof up. And you can feel it in your chest when they start singing. And they give it all they have from their hearts. Yeah, they're military guys. But it's awful hard. It's awful hard to be standing there with all these military guys and singing like a mouse. You know, you just can't do it. You can't do it. That, you know, that this that kind of thing is energizing. It's encouraging. I've also been in other churches that were so dead. So dead. There was nothing there. There was no spark of life. You couldn't jumpstart them. They were dead. Let's all stand. Let's sing a song. Let's sing verse 1 and 2. Okay. Sit down, please. Okay, let's pray now. Who's doing the prayer? Okay, let's stand, sing another song. Okay, sit down. Is it time to go yet? I've been in a church with Jennifer at one time where about 5 minutes after we got there, we were ready to go. Because it was dead. And let me tell you something. Death is also contagious. Death is also contagious. When God is calling you to make a decision, and by faith, you make that decision, whether it be at the end of a message, and we give an invitation, and you know God is speaking to your heart. You feel God tugging on your heartstrings. And by faith, you step out where you are. And you come and you pray. And you make some decisions with God. You know what that does to other people? That may say to someone next to you, you know, I'm encouraged to do the same. Because God's also speaking to my heart. And I need to step out too, but I've been too embarrassed. But I see other people stepping out, and I'm encouraged to step out. When God's calling you, in faith, respond to Him. And stop. Don't be dead. Don't be dead. As we approach the Goliath of this building project, do you show in faith, God is in this, and I can't wait to see what He is going to do? Yes, it's a big task. Yes, we have lots to do. We have consents to get. We have plans to make. We have money to raise. It's a lot of money. But I know God is in this. And it seems like a big task, but I can't wait to see what He's going to do. It's exciting. If you have that kind of faith in God, expecting the best, that is contagious. And I ask you, have that kind of faith in God. Have that kind of faith with me. And expect the best. It's going to be tested. It's going to be tested. David's was tested. But he had the courage to still step out. It's easy to sit back right now and say, yeah, I'm going to have that kind of faith. Yeah, faith, faith. But it's going to be tested. It's going to be put to the test. Some of you are saying, how can I expect the best? You don't really know what it is that I've been through. You don't know the heartache I faced. The financial problems, the relationship problems. You don't understand this, and I can say to you, no, I don't. But I know this, that you can do some of the same things that David did when he faced that turning point in his life. This was a crisis point in David's life. You can do the same things. What are those things? Real quickly, number one, you can tune into God every morning. Every morning. First thing, start your day with God. I used to think in my heart, in my mind, follow me with this. I used to think some people are morning people. Some people are night people. I'm not a morning person. I hate mornings. I hate them. I don't like to get up. I don't like to think in the morning. I like to veg. Get me a cup of coffee. I don't start thinking until coffee time. Are you any? Who's not a morning person? Who's a night person? There's a few of us. Who is a morning person? I love mornings. I get up and I say, praise God, it's morning. You guys make me mad. I never like morning persons. But David said in Psalm 5, this is his attitude. Psalm 5:3, in the morning, O Lord, You hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before You and wait in expectation. He says, I'm going to start my day off in the morning with You. And I think it is important. I've seen over and over again, the first 10 minutes of your morning, what happens in the first 10 minutes is going to determine a lot what kind of day you're going to have. I hate to admit it. I really do. Because I don't like mornings. But the first 10 minutes are going to determine your day. And if you wake up, and in the first 10 minutes, your wife comes and says, wake up, you lazy bones! Or you wake up to an alarm, you're going to probably struggle through days and just get through and get to the end of the day and say, oh, that was awful. Start off your mornings with God. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be long. But at least start off saying, God, this is Your day. I want to give this day to You. I need You today. I need You in Your power in this day. There's obstacles going to come that I can't face. Lead me through it. Now the truth is this. Some of you are naturally born pessimistic. You know who you are. You're born pessimistic. The glass is always half empty, not half full. You relate to that guy on Winnie the Pooh named Eeyore. You guys know Eeyore? Doesn't matter what it's about. Eeyore's going to say, "Oh, it's not a good day." You say, "Good morning." "Oh, I guess it is morning, but I don't know if it's good." Remember one time Eeyore looking in the pond as he got a drink and he saw his reflection. And he just looks at the reflection and just keeps saying, "That's pathetic. Don't know how anyone could like that. That's pathetic." Do you relate to Eeyore? Do you ever wake up grouchy in the morning? I let Jennifer sleep myself. Never mind. I don't wake up grouchy. I let Jennifer sleep. No, I'm just kidding. There are two kinds of people in life. There are people who wake up and say, "Good morning, Lord." And the other kind of people that wake up and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Different attitude. Start your day with worship. Just a bit of worship. Jennifer gets up, and I appreciate her because she gets in the shower and she serenades me with all her worship songs in the shower. In the morning time. And I hear her worshiping God, and she starts off that way. And that gets me started on the right path. Gets me thinking of God. Be able to say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it." Start your day off that way. Number two, what David did that we also should do. Think on God's promises throughout the day. Think on God's promises. I recently shared this verse with my kids because we started seeing they're whining, they're complaining, they're fighting, and it gets annoying. And you just want to say, "Wake up, stop whining, stop complaining." And sometimes there's grown-ups, and I want to say, "Wake up, stop whining, stop complaining, stop fighting." God says the same thing. Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And I sat them down and I reminded them, this is what God says. You stop thinking about all the bad things all the time. Any fool can think of all the bad things. Any fool can find all the problems. Any fool can complain. God says, think on good things. Because what you're thinking in your mind is what you're going to live like. God wants you to renew your mind. He wants you to have a faith expecting the best. What are you thinking about throughout the day? What is going through your mind all day? What you are thinking about all the time is going to determine where your path goes in life. Some people like to have the pastor for lunch every Sunday. Not at their house. They like to devour the pastor bit by bit. You ever known people like that? What are they thinking? They're not thinking about Philippians 4:8. Psalm 119 verse 95 says, "Though the wicked hide along the way to kill me, I will quietly keep my mind upon your promises." So he's saying here, it's not just when the going is good. David was saying there's people conspiring to take his life. They're lying in wait to kill me any chance they get. If anything, David could worry and fret. But he says, "I'm going to keep my mind on your promises. Even in the hardest of times." He's going to focus on God's promises. What's going through your mind all day? What's going through your mind all day? You know, I see some young people. I'm going to pick on young people for just a little bit. Young people. And they listen to some of their favorite music artists. And I see what the music artists even look like. And I see on their face and in their attitude, in their gesture, they don't look like they're thinking of Philippians 4:8. It's not there. They have a look of anger, sometimes a rebellious spirit, sometimes sexy. And you're listening to this all day. Now let me tell you, what's going through your mind? Are you thinking on God's promises all day? Don't tell me this doesn't affect how you think. Because how you think is going to be your path in life. Think about it, guys. When you wake up in the morning, throughout the day, what is it that you're thinking about? What's going through your mind? May I suggest that you listen to something different? What voice is going through your mind all day? If you have a voice that's saying you're stupid, you're no good, you know, you can't do anything right, I want to suggest that you focus on what God says. You focus on things that are lovely, pure, right. And He's made you something special. He's designed you just the way He wants you. Begin to rethink, reprogram, refocus your mind. Because God's Word tells us to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Think on God's promises. 3, trust in God's love even when things look bad. The Bible tells us in Psalm 42, verse 5, David again said, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my hope." He's saying to himself, why are you so blue? Why are you so down? He's saying, put your hope and your faith in God, expect the best, and I will yet praise Him. I will yet, in the future, praise Him. He's expecting God to do something. What God is going to do. Some of you perhaps are going through pretty dark times right now. What is it that you should do? First of all, remember what God has done in the past. You know how quickly we forget what God has done in the past at times? We forget. That's human nature, I think. And we need to remind ourselves, God has done great things in the past. In my life. I remember it. There's been times that I had no idea what God was going to do. He came through for me. And I was just elated and over the moon saying, praise the Lord. He's awesome. He's great. And then a few months later, I'm down at the bottom, not knowing what on earth I'm going to do. And I've forgotten, hey, God can do, if God did that before, He can do it again. Remember God's past, what He's done in the past. And then second, expect Him to do it again. Expect Him to do it again. That's expecting the best. You're trusting in God's love even when things look bad. We rarely understand why God allows things in our lives when they happen. I can't always explain why some of the things happen. But I have to trust that God knows best. So what do you do when you're in a difficult situation? It doesn't make sense. Trust in God's love. He knows best. 4, this is an important one. Please listen to me. Hang out with positive believers. You got that? Hang out with positive believers. Who do you hang out with? Does your faith get support? Jennifer used an expression recently talking about that your bucket is just full. You go and you hear from God's Word and He blesses you and He fills your bucket up. And you go and you try to share that with somebody and they constantly pop a hole in your bucket. And your bucket empties out. Who do you hang out with? Are you hanging out with people who are constantly putting holes in your bucket? Or are you hanging out with positive Christians? If you hang out with cynical, sarcastic, critical, and negative people, that's as contagious as faith is. And they will affect you. If you want to be a person of great faith, great expectations, then you need to find people who build into your life additional faith and who will help you grow. Amen? Amen? Find people who are going to help you grow. The wrong crowd will bring you down. 1 Corinthians 15:53. Bad company corrupts good character. Don't be deceived. You hang around bad people, it's going to affect you. You hang around with negative people, it's going to affect you. You hang around with people who don't have faith, it's going to affect you. And it really does when it comes to your attitude. It's like the old saying, the old cliche, if you want to soar with eagles, you don't hang around with the turkeys. You want to soar with eagles, don't hang around with the turkeys. David said in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the seat of the scornful or sit in the seat of the wicked or scoffers. Don't hang around that. You don't need that. Now, I'm not trying to tell you now to just go and drop all friends that you have. But I will tell you, you don't want a whole lot of them or they will bring you down. You need more VIPs than you do VDPs. A VIP, very inspirational person in your life. You want very inspirational people, less VDPs, which is very draining people. Very draining people. Draining on your faith, popping holes in your faith bucket. What are you going to do? I was reading something that the average person lives about 25,550 days. 25,550 days. How many days are you at? I'm at nearly 13,000. That means I'm over halfway there. Does that make me middle age already? I'm over halfway. How am I going to spend these days? I want to spend my days expecting the best. I want you to spend your days expecting the best. Some of you have decisions to make. Some of you need to make some commitments. You've got to do something. Whether it be some of the people that you perhaps are hanging with and they're affecting you and you know it. Maybe it's to begin your days with God. What is it that you need to make a choice of today? Maybe some of you need to make the first choice to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as a Savior, as your Savior, to save you from your own sin. Maybe you have never made that decision. It's time today. Faith encourages people. Be an encourager. If God is calling you to do something, do it. And it will be a testimony and an encouragement to other people around you. Will you stand with me, please?